How come no one's in the water? We brought all these boards. Still petrified. Is it safe?
Yeah.
Something's missing, yeah? They said he wandered up a few days after the tsunami.
What's his name?
They don't know. He hasn't said a word. He won't even smile.
Hey, do you want to go to the water?
You want to go out to the ocean and go swimming?
No. Sorry, Warren.
Lord works in mysterious ways. I say that's an understatement. Who would have thought that teaching a kid to surf would teach me that surfing isn't the most important thing in the world, and that something else is? Love. Bigger than any tidal wave, more powerful than any fear.
You may know this teenage surfer, Bethany Hamilton, lost her left arm in a shark attack and had to overcome her fear of the water after that. The clip we just watched from the movie Soul Surfer, she teaches a little boy who's now terrified of the water since surviving a tsunami and overcome his fear. And life throws enough challenges at us that will often bring fear into our lives, things that have happened, things we're fearful that may happen, and our changing landscape of an ever-increasing violent world with terrorist acts more common than ever, random shootings in public places, a rising crime rate. I mean, we can be caught living with more fear than ever before. And there are many places in Scripture that tell us not to have fear, one being Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. When we are fearful, we are not peaceful. Fear and peace do not reside together. We've had messages in the past that I've talked about having peace, the peace with God through our salvation, and having the peace of God in our life. We can be saved and know we're going to heaven, know we have peace with God, but not have the peace of God, to be struggling. God truly desires for you to be at peace with him and in him. And a peace that is threatened when you live with several fears. It's impossible, really, to be fearful and have peace at the same time. They don't coincide together. And when you research fear, you find that a lot of people, many people, live with fear in a good part of their lives. Some struggle with fear to a degree that it becomes a phobia with a specific name attached to describing that fear. As I mentioned, the Word of God addresses fear in several places. And if you're struggling in one of those areas, God's saying, "Do not fear, I'm with you." He does not want you to have that fear. And the word of fear appears in different forms in the Bible. Feared, fearest, fearful, fearing, fear. I mean, it appears a total of 524 times in the Word of God. Fear has many faces and many forms. And the Bible instructs us to fear not. In fact, out of the 524 times fear is spoken of, 80 of those times are fear not. I've said before over the years that if you pay attention when the Scriptures describe a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God, often an angel of the Lord or the Lord himself, they will start with, fear not. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He certainly doesn't want us to be afraid of a manifestation of God. In the Scriptures, he's about to do something dynamic, and he knows that it's going to be out of the natural. He's telling them, don't be afraid. And we should be accustomed, if you will, to the presence of God and his supernatural peace. Further, there are some specific things in the Word that tell us not to fear. The Bible says, don't fear people, flesh, idols, evil, war, man, sufferings, all of which we can be fearful of. And one very prominent scripture regarding fear is a favorite of mine, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I love this. If you look at it, God's not given you a spirit of fear. That tells you where the fear is rooted at. Instead of that, he's given you a spirit of the Holy Spirit of power, the power of God, the love of God for him and his word and his people, and a sound mind. The one thing that starts to go when you come into fear, your thoughts. The Lord expects us to walk boldly, strong, and courageous in his power and the power of his might. All that said, all that the Scripture says about not being in fear and trusting him and being with him, and there are several times in Scripture that the Word defines the fear you should have. We're told to be fearful, if not fearful really, but to fear God. To fear God. It's a theme that runs both through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so how do we reconcile this, the Word of God, when it tells us to fear not? Even when Jesus himself appeared to the disciples, he said, do not be afraid, and yet also tells us to fear God. Fear not, yet fear God. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ, yet fear God. Our first encounter with a godly fear, we see it in Genesis. You'll almost see where the root of it is, but we find Adam and Eve hiding in fear when they sin. Genesis 3:8 and following, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." First place of godly fear, afraid of God. Before that, he walked with God daily before his sin. And as you look through the Bible, as man grew in his understanding of living then in a fallen world, he began to recognize the value to the obedience of fearing God. We read in Genesis chapter 20 where Abraham was living in a foreign land, and if you remember the story, he lied about his wife Sarah, saying she was his sister. King Abimelech takes her back to the palace, but before anything happens between them, God speaks to Abimelech in a dream, warning him that she was indeed Abraham's wife. So when confronted by the king, Abraham offers this excuse. Genesis 20:11, Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife." No fear of God. How might men behave that do not fear God? And as we work through this reconciling, if you will, this tension between do not fear, do not be afraid, and fearing God, you start to think about their world that we see around us that have no fear of God. By their actions, that's obvious. There is no fear of God. There are several examples in the Old Testament regarding men proclaiming to fear God, and it's carried through the New Testament as well. Hebrews, we read this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, and let's stop for just a moment. We are walking in a kingdom of God that we belong to when we know Christ, and that kingdom cannot be shaken. Right there is enough to say we've had church and go home. Amen? Don't leave just yet, but don't check out. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Peter admonishes us with, in 1 Peter 2:7, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. 13th chapter of the book of Acts, we find Paul and some other apostles entering a synagogue in Antioch, and Paul is asked to speak to those gathered. He stands up to preach, and he makes this opening statement. Acts 13:16. And Paul stood up and motioning with his hand and said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. That's how we started out. And he's actually addressing two people groups, the Jews and the Gentiles who follow Judaism. Because once the Jews began to follow Judaism, they became known as God-fearers. That's how they looked at them. These people fear God. And the recognition of the day was to follow and recognize God was to fear him. And we're really called to do no less in the New Testament. So how do we understand the biblical meaning of this as it's played out in our faith walk? How do we walk this out in our faith every day? Many people, when confronted with God, non-believers and believers alike, have a fear of God's wrath. Their view of God is often one of an angry God who's watching over them, waiting for them to do something wrong, and then when they do, bam, they punish them. I mean, I've spoken to people with this over the years, and they'll say things like, oh, I'm being punished, or this is because I did this, or if I do this, I'm afraid. I mean, they walk in a fear of an angry God. And if you walk in a fear of an angry God that's out to get you for when you're wrong, to believe that has to have no real understanding of a God who was willing to take your punishment for you to obtain your salvation. And yet this thinking follows many believers and non-believers alike. And hopefully we begin to see the importance of a clear understanding what Scripture means when it says we're commanded to fear God. What does that really mean in our life? And to have a biblically accurate fear of God is in fact a healthy fear, not a destructive one. Any other fear can be destructive. But a biblically accurate fear of God is, in fact, a healthy fear, not a destructive one, is the very beginning of establishing a healthy relationship with God. In Scripture, we see 22 different Old Testament Hebrew words translated fear and 11 Greek New Testament words translated fear. Most of them mean fear, foreboding, terror. And there are many, when used in the context to fear God, that mean exactly that, fear. There are a couple of Hebrew and Greek words that mean fear and reverence, a godly reverence, a godly fear, and that's very appropriate. But it's this aspect of your relationship with God that God desires you to understand, to fear him, to reverence him, and to worship him. And the truth is, there's plenty of reasons, if you will, if you want to get where Scripture's going, to just plain fear God. Mark down Psalm 104 and promise yourself to read it later. But there's at least 30 reasons there in the psalm to bless and fear God in the 35 verses of Psalm 104, including that one, he is great. He is clothed with honor and majesty. He covers himself with light. He stretches out the heavens like a garment. Anybody here done that lately? I didn't think so. He spoke the worlds into existence. He pointed the sun and the moon to regulate seasons. I mean, the majesty and power of God that holds all things together. We cannot lose sight of just how majestic and powerful our God really is. And we can easily take the Creator and his creationship for granted. And we can also begin to take our walk with God for granted. And we are called, rightfully so, to acknowledge, to honor, to worship, and revere God for all who he is. And when you lose sight of the Creator, you begin to fear man and not God. Get that. When you lose sight of who your Creator is and the relationship that you have with him, you begin to fear man and not God. When you stop having holy reverence, you begin to have an unholy fear. Jesus put it in the proper perspective. He gathered his disciples together one day to send them out preaching. And he gave them some directions as he did so. He gave them power and authority, and he made sure to include some practical instructions. And then he told them this, which is applicable to us as we go about in our world. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He acknowledged that you could have a fear of man. And he said, do not fear one who has no power over your eternity. Rather, fear and reverence the one who paid a price for you to spend an eternity with him. We sang that this morning, if you will, in an Amazing Grace, that part of it, this how God paid our price and we walked in it. Fear God, and you will have nothing else to fear. Fear God in a holy fear and a reverence and an honest truth relationship, you'll really have nothing else to fear. And when you do become fearful, he is the answer to remove that fear. Not to fear God is really an act of ignorance, a lack of true knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice that. This is where true knowledge begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and we're not just talking about book knowledge that you learn going to school. Thank God he's enabled us to do that. But the beginning of true knowledge of the things holy, the things of God, the things of all things that God has put together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. Verse 7 of this particular proverb here forms a sort of motto for the book and describes its foundational principles. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Beginning implies both a starting point and essence. This is where you're going to start, and this is where you're going to grow from. Without the knowledge and fear of Yahweh, the true God, the wisdom which affords guidance for our entire life cannot begin to be acquired. Without the fear of God and the beginning of his knowledge, you will stumble through life without any real truth and without any real effectiveness. Scripture tells us we're to fear him, if you will. Consider one who is rebellious before and towards God. That individual who openly and blatantly sins does not fear God. Does not fear God. Scripture tells us there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And yet many live accordingly as if they don't truly believe that. Just live their lives. You know, before accepting Christ, I acknowledged God. I'd grown up in a religious setting. But I had no place for a relationship in my life with him. I knew he where he was. Went to church once or twice a year, whether I needed it or not. But a real relationship, all that stuff was kind of foolishness to me. Who was the true fool? The man running in a dark world with his fingers in his ears is not walking in wisdom. When you accept Christ, your eyes are open. Scripture becomes true. Truth is revealed and understanding is imparted. Reverence, acknowledge, submission to God is divine, eternal wisdom. And it's only the beginning. So there's a difference between being afraid of God and fearing God. And that's probably the key to this, because we hear fear God and it's like, how can I be afraid of a God that I love? There's a difference between being afraid and fearing who he is. Promise yourself as well. I've given you some homework this week to read Proverbs chapter 2 later. But it begins with, if you incline yourself towards God, you seek his wisdom and his knowledge, and it says in 2:5 and following, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. Now, how many of you think somehow this week, maybe a situation you're in right now, or somehow this week, you're going to need some wisdom? You're going to go through something. You're going to need some direction or wisdom. Well, hey, both hands up. Amen. You know? That's where you get it. From the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. What a beautiful promise. Will one who does not fear God walk in his wisdom and knowledge? No way. Will the one who fears God walk in God's knowledge, fear anything else? Fear God and you'll have nothing else to fear. Walking in God's knowledge opens your eyes to his absolute truth. And absolute truth is where you go from being prideful, trusting only in yourself, to seeking a holy God and responding in submission and praise, reverence, and worship. That's wisdom. Wisdom identifies itself with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and a perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, I know in my life, and I expect in your life as well, there were several things in my life prior to knowing Christ that I embraced, I celebrated. Now I hate. I watch the news most mornings as I go through some exercise and some things I need to do to just get up and get moving, you know. And I've watched them sometimes, clips and things, and they'll celebrate something extremely sinful, homosexuality or something like that, and they're gleeful about it. Because this is a thing to do. This is a way to celebrate our lives. They don't understand the truth of God, and it's amazing to watch people that walk in that. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. How many things that you might have embraced before that now with the wisdom of God you hate? You said, that how can we see that? Why would that be acceptable? God and wisdom hate the same things. And wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The cynical scorner can therefore never learn true wisdom. Wisdom introduces you to the truth about God. You begin to know a loving, a gracious God. You lose your sense of impending doom and condemnation. You begin to walk in a peace with God, knowing that the one who is worthy to be feared is with you in his power and his grace and his majesty. You become free of the bondage of the lies of the devil. And finally, we must reconcile the word where it says, have no fear, fear not, yet fear God. I saw this years ago praying about this whole thing, and to not fear something or someone is to say you're equal to or better than under them. To not fear something or someone, you are saying you're equal to or better than it or them. When we stand before God in all of his power and glory, I think fear would be a natural reaction. I mean, we touch, if you will, the presence of God, sometimes deeply in prayer or worship or corporate gatherings. I've had deep moments of very awareness of the presence of God. We've talked in times past and looked at understanding and walking in this presence of God. But what a joy it was to be, would be, to stand in the full presence of God on this side of life. When we stand before God in all of his power, all of his majesty, all of his glory, I think fear would be a natural reaction. The glory of God. And it's not the same fear as fear or terror. This fear has nothing to do with loss or punishment. This fear is to acknowledge his power and his might. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, the emphasis is laid on a loving and forgiving God. The same scripture that says, fear God because who he is, recognize who he is that God that is loving and forgiving. That's the foundation of the new covenant. Because of knowing Christ, you can face life or death without fear. We see three instances in the New Testament where God the Father is referred to as Abba Father. Abba Father. Term of endearment and intimacy. Now, this one that Papa God, that you could crawl in the lap of God, if you will, and call him God, Father, love him, that you'd same time respect who he is and know who he is. And when you're ever truly intimate with somebody, you don't really fear them. Fear and reverence and holiness is one thing, but not being afraid. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of a healthy and loving relationship with your most holy God. 1 John 4:15 and following is wonderful. It just shows it. Anyone who believes and says that Jesus is the Son of God has God living in him, and he is living with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe him when he tells us that he loves us dearly. God is love. And anyone who lives in love is living with God and God is living with him. And as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete. I love that. As we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete. So we will not be ashamed or embarrassed at the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence and joy because he loves us and we love him too. We have no need of fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. If we are afraid, now you begin to see the difference between being afraid of God and fearing his awesomeness. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we're not fully convinced that he loves us. So you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. Perhaps it says it this way. One who has no fear of God lives his or her life doing whatever pleases them, whatever seems right in their own eyes, regardless of who it might hurt. And maybe that's the key to the whole thing. And when we live in a dark, ever-increasing violent, ever-increasing dark world, people running around, they really have no fear of God. They have no understanding of his wisdom, of his knowledge, of his grace, of his love, of his power, of his majesty, of his awesomeness, all there is to God. They live under themselves. They do what seems right, no matter who it hurts, no matter the consequences. That's not fearing God. So there's a big difference between afraid of God and fearing the one that we serve so gratefully. Invite the worship team to come forward. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I remember years ago, a lot of years ago actually, when I was called to go back to school, I felt the Lord call me to go to school and train and go to Bible school and spent a couple of years doing that. 5 nights a week, I think, almost all day Saturday, a good part of Saturday. And so I'd work all day, and I'd go in the evenings and several years. And Chris was young, we were young, and we had little kids at home. And for some reason, she never had it before, but she started to get fearful at night. I'd be gone, and I knew how to go. If I stayed home, she wouldn't be afraid, but she got real fearful because I'd be gone all evening until late at night sometimes. And she got fearful, so we prayed about it. We went through the scripture and we wrote out several scriptures about do not fear. God is with you. You know, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And we prayed about, put those scriptures on. Wherever she'd walk, in whatever room, she'd see a scripture. And then she just got set free with it. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and worship our God.